Okay, so we're starting Ois Dalid in Shara Tefila. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, Inyan Kvius Mokim LeTefila. What's the Inyan? What's behind this idea that one is supposed to set a place for davening? Shechachomim Mifligu Kol Kach, where Chazal went so far and said, V'amru and said, Kol HaKaveya Mokum HaTefilasai, anyone who sets a place for his tefillah, Elekei Avraham Be'ozroi, the God of Avraham is there to help him, will help him, Uchshemeis, and when that person dies, Oimrim Loi, they say to him, Oi Onov, or Ei Onov, Ei Chosid, like, Oi, you know, where is the Onov, where is the Chosid, from the students of Avraham Avinu, you know, we've lost him. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Vav Amud Beis. So that's, of course, we're talking about setting that a person is supposed to have a set place in shul. He's supposed to daven always in the same spot, if possible. That's a big maila in tefillah. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe wants to know what's this idea about. Im amnam yisayid hakavana shel kviyus mokayim. Who hayit yachdut hashlema limkomo shel olam, she'ein ha'olam mikomo. Says, right, it's true. It seems that the yisoid, the basis of the intention of this concept of setting the place, is the complete designation for the mikomo shel olam, a reference to the place of the world. That the world isn't his place, meaning, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the place of the world because he isn't inside the world is inside of him. So, he's saying that, ultimately, this idea of HaKaveh HaMakom HaTfilasai kind of rings, or kind of, right, is what's really behind the idea, is this idea of Makom, is this idea of place. And that idea of place really is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the place of the world. Bechol zos, he says, nevertheless, gam ze michukei ha-havaya. This is also considered, this is also part of the principles of existence. So, let's read on a little bit to try to get what he's saying. Shekeshem she'en l'neshama achiza ba'olam hazeh mibli aguf. Okay, this is part of the principles of the existence, is that just as the neshama doesn't have any way of holding in this world without the body, kein kol regesh adir v'chazon elyon, so to any mighty feeling or supernal vision, e efshe sheyimatze achiza b'lo hitlavut shel hagdarah gashmit. It is impossible for it to find any hold in this world without the accompaniment of a physical limitation, a physical classification, that will act in the aspect of a body to it. So, to say it in more simple terms, is that the same way there is no such thing as a neshama in this world without a guf, in order for the neshama to be here and for the neshama to have any kind of effect in Olam Hazeh, any kind of expression in Olam Hazeh, it can't do so unless it comes down in a body. So too, on a more abstract level, any kind of lofty type of vision, right, meaning something, any kind of spiritual feeling or vision, whatever you want to call it, can't come down into this world without some kind of physical limitation to it, some kind of physical borders which allow us to receive that concept, to receive that image. So I'll give you an example from which we've mentioned this pasuk many, many times. Omi b'sari echeze eloika, and from my flesh I will see, right? Lashon of echeze is chazon, is vision. God. In other words, if you want to understand God, conceptualize God, you will not be able to unless there is some kind of there's some kind of human terminology that can be used, right? There's some kind of mashal, some kind of mashal, which is a physical mashal, mibsari, my flesh. We say that, right? The pasuk says that he created man betzelem elokim, in the image of God, and that's in order to allow us to conceptualize and understand and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some kind of way. Dibra Torah b'lashon bnei Adam, the Torah speaks to man in the lashon of man. So if you're going to speak to God about God, it's going to be in the oifen of Hashem hears, which is physical, some kind of physical classification and borders of something. It's the eyes of Hashem see. You know, these things are not physical. By the way, the Arizal actually points to Parshas Korach when he discusses this. He says, you see, the pasuk talks about the mouth of the land, Vatiftach es oretz pia, right? The land opened up its mouth when it's opened up to receive Korach's whole Eda. So he uses of the mouth. So the Arizal says, you see from here that mouth, it means something which is not always what we would literally call mouth. It's a concept of an opening, right? And so you have to learn how to abstract. And the same thing is when you use these terminologies, klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you talk about kibayochel, left the mouth of Hashem, right? The world's words came out from the mouth of Hashem. That mouth is not chalila. You shouldn't ever think about it in a physical way, but you're supposed to. You need to use the physical terminology and then abstract from it to a more spiritual realm. But again, without that hagdara gashmit, you wouldn't have anything. There would be no way of accessing any kind of spiritual concepts, ideas, etc. So, ukvius makan bipshuta, we're continuing. The pashada understanding of setting a place, who aguf shall kvius makam b'muvana kolel v'arachav shall kolera ayonot v'nosim elyonim sheyesh b'zeh. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying something like this. It's, you know, I'm gonna insert a little bit of words into what he's saying. In other words, give you a background to the statement that he just made. The background, and then I'll tell you what the statement is. The background is, you know, I'll give an example from the Maharal Prague. Many times the Maharal will take an agada. For example, in Sefer Netzach Yisrael, he talks about the agada that says by the Churban that they were, you know, like blood, I think, if I remember correctly, the blood came out of the paroches, and he says like that can't be, you know, it doesn't bleed, it just can't be taken in a physical sense. And there are many, many agadas Chazal that the Maharal works in that way, where he takes them and he explains them in, I guess you could call it maybe allegoric. It's not always allegoric in that sense, but it's that things shouldn't be taken in a literal way, but rather in a way of, you know, understanding that they're hinting to something, to deeper meaning, and therefore you have to be able to learn in that way, which is really an abstraction of whatever is being the way it's written, and you have to understand the deeper meaning of it. Fine, but there are many chazals which you can understand. This is not a shir on this, so we can't get into the details of it. It's not so clear. There's a number of things written in Sfarim, but how do you know when you're supposed to take a chazal, an agadita, and take it out of its literal meaning? Okay, so I'm not going to get into the whens and wheres. There's some very fascinating, there's a very big arichas on it, if anybody's interested in this, in the Sefer HaBris, which is quite fascinating, because he gives different parameters of how to know in what derech to learn up an agada. It's a chash of a thing. There's a maimer, I think, if I remember correctly, from the Ramchal a little bit, that's printed in some Sfarim about how to know which, you know, what style of approach to take in explaining different agadatas. But in general, there's a whole slew of agadas which can be understood in simple terms, in literal terms. And there's not necessarily a reason to take them out of the literal terms, except that very often you'll look at it and you say, like, well, okay, fine, that happened maybe, but so what? What's the significance of that? And when you look into the significance of it, you're going to get to a deeper meaning, that it's actually representative of some deeper level. So there are many chazals that you really should be taking on a pshuta, simple, on a level of simple meaning, but at the same time, you have to ask yourself further, like, what's the significance of that? And then you'll get to the deeper meaning. A little bit kind of like Rashi sometimes, right? We'll bring a pshat and then bring a medrash, because there's something that the pshat is still not, we're not happy with it. Usually it's because of a diak in the pasuk, but when we're talking about Rashi and the Torah, that still something doesn't work out exactly in the lashon of the pasuk, or there's some problem with this the pshat. So he'll bring then a medrash which would, you know, fill that gap and give like this deeper level meaning which would answer that. But ultimately you can read things, and the Torah has to be read on the level of in a multi-layered way. So getting back to here we're not really talking about agadata in a certain. I mean, this is actually an interesting gemara, because it's kind of semi-halachic and semi-agadic, right? Because on the one hand, it's expressing halacha, which is that a person should set a makam for tefillah. On the other hand, it's saying whoever is doing that, setting that place for tefillah, Elokei Avram be'ezrai, you know, God will be with him to help him, and when he dies, they will say about him, Eyanav, Eychasid, Mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu. So this is like, there's both elements over here of halacha and agada. In any case, clearly, the pashutning stands that a person has to have a set place to daven. But Rabbi Akamesh is saying like this. I'll read the sentence again. Kviyas makam bipshutai, the setting of a place for davening in its literal sense, who aguf is the body of the setting, shel kviyas makam b'muvan akol of arachav, of the setting of a place in a larger sense, and in a more expansive and general sense, of shel kol ra'yanot v'nosim elyonim she'ish b'zeh, of all the ideas and higher concepts that are in this idea of kviyas makam. So there's the pashat kviyas makam, but that pashat kviyas makam carries within it a much broader meaning, which he's going to get to here. Umikan hatam shel kviyas man kriya shema utfila, and from here is the reason for setting a time of kriya shema and tefillah. The same way there's a kviyas makam by tefillah, there's a kviyas zman, right? This kriya shema has to be read in a certain time, and davening has to be done within a certain time. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe asks, right? L'chayra, it's a very bewildering thing. Why should there be set times of tefillah? The unification of Hashem is not dependent, it's not only in a specifically set time. That continues. The Yichud of Hashem is always going on. So why should Shema Yisrael, which is the unification of Hashem's name, be only in specific hours in the morning and specific hours at night? So how is it that there were times that were set for this? It's dafka because it's non-stop. The unification of Hashem is non-stop. Dafka because of that. V'dafka mipnei omko, and dafka because of its depth, v'simis gabo, and the height of its, the peak of its height, lo yuchali kalet bli agdara kashmit. Because of that, it will not be able to be absorbed into this world without some kind of physical limitation, gvulit uzmanit, limiting it and time-wise, that this is the guf through which the neshama illuminates. Meaning, that hagdara gashmis, that physical classification, setting a specific limited time, is the guf that will allow that neshama, which is the yichud ha'elyon, the unification, that ruchni zdika, realization of the unification of Hashem, it allows that to be expressed in this world. Otherwise, the Yichud HaElyon is so great, it wouldn't find itself here. So you would have to go with that Kadosh Baruch Hu. I had to give it Kibiyochel a body for this Neshama to be expressed in this world. Okay, that's first paragraph. If there's any questions or Oris, this is a good place on this point. If you have any questions or Oris. Okay.
So one minute.
Yeah.
So that concept of makom, in short, is to take any words.
Is what?
The concept of being koveya makom
for tefillah is because tefillah is a dvarim ha'oimdim berumei shel olam. Tefillah is something which is extremely lofty in dealing with the highest recognition of Hashem, right? It's all like the nefesh chaim goes at length to say that it's really all secrets, and even though it looks physical, but there's so many secrets there, and it's touching places all the way in the Olam Atzilus. So because it's such a high spiritual experience, there's no way for it to properly attach itself and express itself in Olam Hazeh, for it to be experienced in the Olam Hazeh, unless it's given a body. And that body is the makom and the zman that is set. It's being kaveya makom and kaveya the zman, which the kaveya zman is from Chazal. They set the times. But the kaveya makom, that's up to each individual to choose a spot. And that kaveya makom and zman is the body which allows this spiritual neshama, spiritual event, to take place in the best, in a meaningful and correct way, to attach itself to Olam Hazeh. Okay, so says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. Now, Adayin Yesh Lavin, we still have to understand, Mao Mashi Yichsu Dafka Tor Chasid Va'anav Mitalmidav Shel Avraham Avinu. What is it that Chazal attributed Dafka this description, the title of Chasid, the pious one, and Anav, the humble one, Mi Talmidov Shel Avraham Avinu, from the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu? What are these? And that's the Mefarshim. Well, this is the obvious question here. What does this have to do with what your Kriya Makom LaTefila? How does that make you a Chassid? How does that make you an Anav? How does that relate you to the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu? Ma Kesher Bechlal? What does this have to do with anything? Yesh Hevdeil Bein HaTefila Kvua VaTidirit Shavot Tiknu Ucheneged Tmidim Tiknu לבין התפילה המקרית הבאה רק לרגלי מאורות המציקים לאדם שמתעורר וגם מצווה אז להתפלל עליהם. There's a difference between the set and usual tefillah that the avos were mesaken and that were established כנגד the tmidim, meaning regular shachras, mincha, mariv, musaf, right? The regular set tefillahs. There's a difference between the regular set tefillahs לבין התפילה המקרית, to the tefillah that happens based on different events that take place that trouble the person, that causes him to be stirred, and then it's also a mitzvah for him to daven on those things. Actually, the pashut of mitzvah of tefillah midoraisa is when a person has a problem, he has to daven to Hashem to help him with that problem. That's according to many, that's the only real deraisa tefillah. There are shitas that hold that that's the only real deraisa tefillah, maybe, but it's complicated. I don't want to get into that. But but Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying over here is like we have two separate types of tefillah. There's the tefillah that's the set tefillah, and then there's the tefillah that when a person has a tzara, the person has a difficulty, he turns to Hashem and says, please help. And there's a difference between that established set tefillah and this irregular tefillah, which is responsive to the events that are going on in a person's life. There's a difference. B'tefillah ha-mikrit, in the mikrit literally means happenstance. It occurs from once in a while, it's not set. So in the Tefillah HaMikrit, right, in what we call the responsive Tefillah that just happens here and there, Kevan Shemurot Olam Evi LaTefillah Zu. Since the happenings of the world is what brought to that Tefillah, Yesh Ba Michukei Havaya. So that Tefillah has in it from the principles of the universe, principles of existence. V'itachen shegam seder ha-tefillah yeh al-pi ha-chukim e'elah. And it could be that even the order of the tefillah would be now based on those chukim. Hainu, meaning, she'efshe l'tvo ha-ma'aneh mitzad ha-din u'mitzad ha-betzius. It could be that the way you daven, you now have, when you're davening based on something that occurred and you need something, it is possible to demand a response. Mitzad adin and mitzad the metzias. You can turn to Hashem and say, "Hey, listen, we're going to see." He brings examples. Like Chizkiyahu HaMelech davened to Hashem, "Zechor noes asher salachti lefanecha." He davened to Hashem and says, "Remember, I walked before you. I was a good boy." So he's turning to Hashem and saying, "You have to answer me. Remember that I was with you. I went before you." The imik pidulav. The Gemara says that they had a hakpada on Chizkiyahu. They weren't happy with this tefillah in Shemayim. That was only rak beglal shetola b'schus atzma k'pida. The Gemara says the only reason that they had a taina on him was because he was toilet on his own personal merit. To be toilet, the reason Hashem should answer you on your own merit, that's a no-no. You're not supposed to do such a thing. V'chein matzinu b'tefillah sav. But the etzem tefillah, to be davening to Hashem, when you're davening for something, there's a tzara, there's something that's taking place, and you're pointing to something and saying, "Hashem, listen, hey, listen, it's only fair that you give me such and such because of such and such reason." You're demanding a response from Hashem based on the metzias, because the whole tefillah, this whole type of tefillah, is a response. And because it's a response to something that's going on in the world, you have, Rabbi Yaakov says it could be, and he brings proofs to this from the Psukim, we're going to see more proofs, is that you would be able, in your actual, the way of your tefillah, would be able to point to certain things in the Metzias and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, A, B, and C, you have to answer me. For example, that's how we find by the tefillah of Avram Avinu when he davened for on behalf of Zdoim, Sheba Betayna, he came with a taina. Hashoyfet kolo oretz lo yasa mishpat. Could it be that the judge of the whole world is not going to do fair justice? Can it be you're not going to be fair? You see, Avram Avinu is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not Peseder. You can't do this. This wouldn't be fair if there are tzaddikim there to kill the tzaddikim together with the Rishayim. And we find the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu were also in this fashion. Zechor la'avodecha l'Avram li'Yitzchak u'li'Yaakov. Remember your servants Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Al tefen al kshiyom azavirish oivil chatosay. Don't turn to the stubbornness of this nation and to his evil and to his sins. Pen yomru, lest they say, ha'aretz asher hatzitzanu misham mibli yicheles Hashem la'aviyem la'aretz. People are going to say that, oh, the land that he took us out from there, he doesn't have the ability to bring us to the land, Asher Dibur Lahem, to the land, right, of Eretz Yisrael. And it's only out of his hate for us that he took them out of Mitzrayim to kill them in the desert. So Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's pleading his case. He's not just davening for Rachamim. He's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's saying, listen, this is going to be a massive Chilul Hashem. You said, you know, and everybody knows you're supposed to take us out, and it's just going to cause a massive Chilul Hashem. Therefore, you got to help us. Moshe comes with a taina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein Yaakov Avinu Amar. And so too Yaakov Avinu says, Hatzileini no miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, from Esav, v'goymer, v'at hamat eitev eitev imach. You said that you're going to, you said to me, eitev eitev imach, that I'm going to bestow goodness upon you. It's fascinating, to this collection of things. You see them, you don't necessarily take note of all these tefillahs of the biggest tzaddikim, Moshe and Avos. They're tining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're bringing him like, hey, this is not Peseder. They're making demands. It's a very interesting type of tefillah. But you see that this was a whole bunch of examples he's bringing here. He's saying, you know, you, Yaakov says to him, you said you were going to bestow goodness upon me, so save me now from my brother, from Esav. Shekulam bo b'tayna. All of these, all these cases, they came with a taina. Why? Lefishayis oiris abol yidei mu'uris zmaniyim. Because a hisoiris, a stirring that comes based on things that take place in time, right? So there's meaning within their coming. The cause of the tefillah is stemming from here in this world. So now there's also a place to be answered based on the laws of the metzius. The problem comes from the metzius. So there's also room to be answered and demand an answer based on the principles of the Metzius. However, at the time when Hashem commanded Avram to bring up his son, to bring his only son on the Mizbeach, Avram didn't daven, he didn't have any tainus, he didn't say anything in the Shemaruch Hu. Even though he could have said to him, he could have come with a big taina. Yesterday you said to me that in Yitzchak your children will be called. Right? You promised me he's going to be my continuation. And today you say to me, bring him up as a carbon oila. What happened? Yaakov didn't have a problem davening for Sdoim with a taina. Where did his tainas go? He has a very good taina over here. You know, what is this? You're an Indian giver. You promised me he's gonna be my continuation. Now you're telling me to kill him. But he doesn't daven at all. He doesn't any taina. Kimashe boyoshem es Hashem. Because what comes directly from Hashem, hu lamala min hamtzius. This was a command that came from Hashem. A command from Hashem has nothing to do with what's going on in this world. Something that comes straight from Hashem is lamala min hamtzius, is above existence. And you can no longer come with a taina that is only stemming from the metzius. I have a son. You told me I'm going to have this son. That's part of the metzius now. So you can't change this metzius. No, you can't come with, there's no taina. It's finished. So similarly, the tefillah, the set tefillah, shachras mincha mariv, that is not mitzad the metzius. The Metzius is defined by the Shmoneh Esreis, is defined by the Shachras Mincha Marav. Shachras Mincha Marav feed the Metzius. They give us the Metzius of the world. They're not stemming from the Metzius. It's just the opposite. The Metzius feeds off of our set tefillahs. And the inyan of the tefillah is to know and to recognize that everything is in need of Hashem. Lo rak b'shal sheboi ma'uris miyuchadim. Not only at the time where there are special occurrences that have taken place, special things that have happened. Not only at the tough times. She'en ela she'en shum chaim ba'olam. It's the recognition that there's no life in the world ki im chaim ke'ela, except for life as like these. She'nim shochim me'ez chaye chaim baruch hu, that are being drawn from the source of all life, the life of all life. And so too, also all the things that the Metzius needs, Hakol Miyad Hashem Aleihem, his skills, all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, we'll stop here, but just to recap what he said, this is a fascinating distinction between two types of tefillahs. The tefillahs that are responsive to events that take place in the world, so you can come with a taina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a big chiddush. You can come with a tiny kishrog and say, listen, kishrog, this is not Peseder. This is a chil Hashem. Please, answer. But when something comes straight from Hashem, there's no room to taina. You could daven for His mercy, but you can't make a taina. You can't make demands. You can't come with, And that's what happened. That's why Avram didn't daven when he was commanded to bring Yitzhak as an oilo, even though he had a good taina. This is not the time for tainas. You don't have a right for taina now. And that's the yesod of our tefillos of Shachas Mincha Maariv, because the Shachas Mincha Maariv, our set tefillos, are not stemming from the Metzius. It's not pshat that we need things. So Chazal told us, okay, now you need things, daven Shachas Mincha Maariv. No, the Shachas Mincha Maariv are set into the over all existence, in order that they should be the battery of existence, that all the metzius that we live in is going to continue existing, right? It's going to be renewed every moment based on those tefillos. And that's that means that those tefillos, the set tefillos, ultimately are coming from a spot from above the metzius, because they're like the shirish for the metzius. And that's already a very fascinating understanding of tefillah. Well, Bez Hashem, we'll continue this next time. Any questions or ha'aris?
You said that we don't, Avraham Avinu didn't ask about the Akedah because it was straight from Hashem. Isn't the Golus also that we're in now straight from Hashem?
Yeah, it's different. The Golus is, everything is from Hashem. It's a good question, right? Everything is from Hashem, but that's what he uses the Lashon of Yashar Me'es Hashem, straight from Hashem, meaning a commandment that's given to Avram, that's straight from Hashem. Over here, the Golus is, it's true, it comes from Hashem, but it's a process that takes place within the existence, within the universe, within the world. So we're sent into Golus. So we're going to now we're going to daven to Hashem that you should bring us back or take us out of Golus. These are all things stemming from what's going on in the world. That's not what can't be called, you know, Yashar Me'ez Hashem. It's true that he's the Ilah of it all, and it's all with his Hashkacha. But it's filtering through the Metzias. The problem is filtered through the Metzias. The command to bring Yitzhak is not filtered through anything. It's straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do so. Yes.
Why? So the Rav is not making any chiluk between the three tefillot, which are the Rabbanan, and the tefillot Midoraita. That the three tefillot, you could make a time now that it's Shaykh to all of it because it was made by the Anshik Nazdegdora based on Mine Nachinami. It's all Dvarim, you know, Dvarim Elyonim, and it's all, you know, Tikkunim and Atzilut Bechulek. But it has the Pasha Pshar of the Shmon Esrei, it's all Midra Banan, right? It's Dafke Tali and things that are Shaykh to all of it.
Right.
It's not like a direct command from Hashem.
Right.
So it's strange that he's not making a chiluk.
Right. So we spoke about that in one of the past shiurim. Like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe indicated a little bit, and he actually, yeah, he's made this comment himself, and I mentioned that the Nefesh HaChaim goes at length on this, is that he actually says, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe said, right, the tefillah shelamata yiraka garin uba bonim bashamayim aliyoseim giluyim shel eris kabirim v'yichudim neroim. But ultimately, even though the tefillah is enclosed in physical things down here, but ultimately and really, that's not what the tefillah is about. It's all about these tremendous secrets going up and building the olam atzilus. The real goal over here is building up the God's world, kiveyachol, which then filters down back in here, fine. But that's what the Nefesh HaChaim says, is that ultimately the real focus of a person is supposed to be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for your own personal needs. So it's true that the Rabbanan were malbashit, but that's the goof, similar to what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe said, that's just the goof for us to do these things, because we wouldn't be able to get to those lofty spiritual things without some kind of body to them. Okay.
Let's see. Sorry, I just want to ask.
Yeah.
Hashem has told Moshe Rabbeinu he wants to wipe out Klal Yisrael, and then Moshe Tani is going to be a Chilul Hashem. Why is that not a tefillah? What's the difference? I don't understand the point.
You say Moshe, the example of Moshe Rabbeinu.
And if it would be a Chilul Hashem, so was that a Chilul Tefillah?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Let's think. Where is this? Let's look at the psukim and see how this is written. Zvarim Tes. Okay, so. Oh, where is it? Okay, so it's after he breaks the luchos. Oh, then there's v'tav era, masa, v'shleich Hashem esrim kodesh manea. Okay. No. So that's why we have to. It's a good question. But if we look at the psukim, so Moshe Rabbeinu describes, right, Klal Yisrael's mess ups. Right, first they do the eagle, and he breaks it, and he goes through the story of the eagle. Then it says pasuk chav beis. If you look at Perek Tes, pasuk chav beis, uve tav era. You got Hashem angry. And then when Hashem sent you from Kadesh Barnea saying, then you rebelled against Hashem. You were rebellious against Hashem. And I fell before Hashem 40 days, 40 nights. Because Hashem said, wanted to destroy you. V'aspal Hashem, Sayyidamit Hashem, saying, don't destroy your nation and your Nachla, Shepudisa, remember Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, etc. So it's a good question, but it sounds that over here it's true HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to wipe them out, but it's based on their Averis. So once again, it's really stemming from what's going on in Olam Hazeh. It's they did Averis, they get Hashem angry, and Hashem says, okay, that's it, you're finished. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, please. But I think ultimately it's based on their Averis here in Olam Hazeh, so the beginning of this whole thing is still part of the Metzius. I think that's the answer. As opposed to the Akedah, which is something that's completely Lamalim and Metzius. It didn't have any relationship with the Metzius. It wasn't Avera here at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is not really relevant to us because I don't know how many people are going to have that revelation from like a Roman. Right, but it is
relevant to us. But it's relevant to us in the fact that every single Shachras Minchem Marv. Oh, which side? You mean with the Taina coming with the Taina? No, Lamalamina. You're talking about Lamalamina.
Yeah.
But that's what Rabbi Yaakov Meir is saying, is every single Shachras Minchem Marv is that Lamalamina Matzias. All of our set tefillas. And therefore, they're not Shaykh to Tainus, but they're a much higher level. They're coming, that the whole Metzius is stemming from there. They're the battery of the entire Metzius. That should give a person a tremendous appreciation for the Chashivas of the Tfilis. Is that Tfilis?
Mm-hmm. So when is there Tainus? What is the Tainus that turns to Mechabed?
Tainus might be, I don't know, you have what takes place in Meron, or it takes place in whatever. So, you come to the Lissa Keshbohu, there's a terrible Chil Hashem, and people are, it looks bad for, like, Matar, I don't know, there's an event that takes place, and you say to Keshbohu, look, come on, help us out here, we're trying for you. Anything responsive to current events. All right, so we'll continue Bez Hashem next week. Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov. Okay.